The Marigold Hotel has been going properly for 8 months now. People who come and go, but there's been a core of regulars from the beginning, and Sunny takes a roll call every morning.
A most valuable precaution to ensure that nobody has died in the night.
Hi everybody, this has been a 007 back for another 10 minutes spoiler-free movie review, and today I'm talking about the second best exotic Marigold Hotel, which is the inevitable sequel to the surprisingly successful Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which was a very gentle British romantic comedy set in a crumbling hotel in Jaipur, India, and featuring really an all-star cast of some of our best actors dealing with issues of love and life in your pensionable years. But it was one of those wonderful comedies that has what I like to call a little bit of dark backing to the mirror. In other words, it did tackle issues of what happens when your children move on with their lives and you're sort of redundant. What happens when you realise your kids have left and your marriage isn't what you thought it was. And maybe just the financial difficulties of retiring. The fact that all these people go to India in the first place is because their austerity hit British pension doesn't really buy them the kind of lifestyle that they need, or indeed the medical care that they require. So it was a wonderful comedy insofar as it balanced harsh reality with really gentle laughs and had a wonderful mix of characters. I'm really very pleased to see it back in its second iteration. The good news for those of you who really like the first film is that it reunites most of the crew behind the camera and certainly the cast in front of it. So we once again have the director James Madden and the screenwriter Ol Parker. A wonderful score actually by Thomas Newman, he's new to it. And really beautiful photography of India by Ben Smithart. So the film looks lovely, and evidently the people making this film have a lot of affection for India and a lot of appreciation of the colours of Jaipur and a willingness to put that all on screen in the most wonderful, lavish way. So really it's a beautiful film to look at and has a really great soundtrack. In front of the camera lens, we have the same cast as before, pretty much. And there are a number of storylines. This is really a portmanteau film where you have different characters and you're following, you know, their journey through their love life, effectively. I think what's interesting is that they don't assume much prior knowledge. So there's a kind of a roll call early on in the film and a kind of explanation of what the hotel is. But after that, you're pretty much on your own and it's fine. I think you pick up the sort of the relationship dynamics very easily. So if we start with perhaps, you know, in no particular order, let's have a look at some of the relationships. We have, if you remember from the last film, we have Dame Judi Dench, who played a lovely woman called Evelyn Greenslade. And we also have Bill Nighy, who played a married man called Douglas Ainslie. So if you remember, his wife absolutely hated everything to do with India and went back at the end of the last film. So in this film, you have this very tentative, delicate courtship between the two of them, Judi Dench and Bill Nighy, and it's so sweet. And it has everything that's to do with hesitancy and fear at a slightly older age of being hurt or of plunging into something. And then, you know, a plea for patience, but how much time do they honestly have? It's a really beautiful relationship. We then have, if you remember, Celia Imrie, who played Madge Hardcastle, who was a little bit of a flirt and who was going to the local Viceroy Club, the local gentleman's club, in hope of picking up a very rich Indian boyfriend. And in this film, she's faced with not one, but two, and the decision of what she wants to do with her life. And I think, again, there's a very delicate romance that she develops, rather surprisingly, which I won't spoil. But I think it's amazing how when she realises and he realises that they want to be a couple, the scriptwriter doesn't bother giving them lines. There's just a quiet smile and recognition on the face of both of them, which is really wonderful, wonderful filmmaking, I think. We then have, if you remember from the last film, Ronald Pickup's character, Norman Cousins. He's a bit of an old scoundrel, bit of a ladies' man, rather improbably from the way he looks, who does pick up a girlfriend by the end of that film. And in this film, it's about two people who think of themselves as, you know, very out there people trying to work on a relationship. And in one of the more comedy side notes of the film, he inadvertently thinks he's ordered a hit on his girlfriend from a rickshaw driver. So that provides lots of comedy, but also, again, you know, a really wonderful example of love. And so we go on and go forth. I think that the really new relationship in this film is, you know, one that's very surprising. It's between Richard Gere. So I think it's a testament to how successful this film has been that Richard Gere is willing to take part in this film. And one forgets, right, because he's such a famous Hollywood star, that he's also 65. So he also falls into this pensioner age group. And he comes to India and tries to woo the implacable Mrs. Kapoor, so Sunny Kapoor's mum, who's played by Lilette Dubé, who is just beautiful, isn't she? So that's kind of funny, because you sort of have the relationship between this very Western, very suave guy and this woman who really just is not interested at first. And you've got her son, Sunny, kind of very nervous as well, which is a kind of interesting dynamic. So that's the kind of the romantic side of the piece for the elderly residents of the hotel. And as before, there's also, you know, questions of what they do for a living and the idea of being reinvigorating and why not take up a second career at 79? Why shouldn't you? But the overarching story, the big sort of narrative arc that holds these all together must, of course, rest with Sunny Kapoor, played by Dev Patel, who you will know from Slumdog Millionaire and HBO's Newsroom. And it was his ridiculously sunny, optimistic temperament that sort of bound the first film together, right? And it's only right and proper that he features very heavily in this film as well. So in the last film, he was wooing his girlfriend, Sunaina, and in this film, it's the wedding. So obviously, well, is it obvious? There have to be some obstacles thrown in his path. And in this case, it's Sunaina's childhood friend, Kush, who our lovely Sunny is very jealous of. And it makes him not Sunny for most of the movie. It makes him very irritable and jealous and nervous, and I do think it detracts from the film, because with all these kind of flickering love stories that are more or less fraught, you do need something that's very sunny at the heart of this film to keep it on the romantic comedy side of the divide of not being a romantic drama. And Sunny was the one who did that in the last film, and the fact that he doesn't do that in this film, the fact that he is also part of that fraught romantic love story, I think does detract from the film. It probably makes it interesting, more interesting for him to act, but I don't think we need it. And I also don't think we really needed the sort of the musical set pieces by which we end the film. I think it came across as a little bit cheesy, a little bit sort of, yes, we know we're in India, so let's have a Bollywood dance scene. I mean, that doesn't need to happen. So for all that, because we have the darkness of the Sunny story, and also the darkness of his relationship with Mrs. Donnelly, who's played by Maggie Smith, the film, I think, in this iteration, although it doesn't deal with anything as heavy as the first film did in the form of the High Court judge's relationship, I think it's a sadder film, a slightly darker film. It's still very funny. I still laughed out loud at a number of places, and I still really enjoyed it. I still recommend you seeing it. But I do think it's a darker watch. And I do think that because it's a darker watch, the two-hour runtime can seem a little long. I think this film could have very easily done with being half an hour shorter. So, you know, a qualified thumbs up for second best exotic Marigold Hotel. It's a great film, and I think, you know, evidently, if this is a success, there'll be a third, and I will happily go and watch that. I think it's wonderful to see a film that is unashamed about showing love at an older age, and unashamed of showing India in its crumbling finery. You know, this isn't the picture postcard, this is the reality. So wonderful to see the film back again, and I really hope it's a great success. But if you've seen Second Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog, and the full release information will be after the outro music. Thank you for listening.
You should marry that girl.
I want to.
Sometimes it seems to me that the difference between what we want and what we fear is the width of an eyelash.
I'm so sorry. Were you talking to me?
I don't know why I tell you anything.
Because I'm older and wiser.
19 days older.
That's the entire lifespan of a wasp.
second best exotic marigold hotel has a running time of 122 minutes and is rated PG. The movie is currently on release in Australia, the UK, Ireland and New Zealand. It goes on release on March 6th in Italy and the United States, March 12th in Kazakhstan, Russia, March 13th in Austria, Sweden, March 16th in Philippines, March 19th in Denmark, Hong Kong, Iraq, the Netherlands, Portugal and Singapore, March 20th in Lithuania, March 25th in Belgium, March 26th in Greece, the 27th in Spain, Finland, Norway, April 1st in France, April 2nd in Germany and Hungary, April 24th in Turkey, May the 7th in Argentina, and May the 8th in Poland. Thank you for listening.